Welcome or welcome back to another episode of the For the Healthy Host podcast,
where we talk about conscious living, self-awareness, and everything in between.
I'm your host, Ree.
Sunset Tim.
Thank you so much for joining us and allowing us to be a part of your journey.
Yes, and today we will be speaking about...
First of all, sir, we don't jump into it. I know you're new here.
Oh, okay. I forgot you like it. You like to give a check-in. I'm sorry.
We are so happy to be here. It's been like a long couple of days, y'all. So we just really happy to be here. We hope that y'all are well. Let us know how y'all are doing.
Yeah, we are happy to be here. Hope y'all having a good life. Hope y'all ate something good this morning. Hope y'all got good sleep. Hope y'all ready to tackle the day, you know what I mean, and really get this going.
I love that. See, you're doing good.
Thank you.
You're doing good, sweetie. Thank you. So, today we want to talk about money and spirituality. It's so funny because I think in general in society, money isn't something that's talked about. Like, it's like
taboo. It's like you don't speak about it. Even like in households, like people rarely speak about, you know, money with their parents.
I know I definitely didn't. And furthermore, like, money and spirituality as well. Like, I feel like people don't think those two go hand in hand. I have to say that I've been guilty of that thought as well. But, you know, spirituality is about expansion. And so is money. So the two go hand in hand. Yeah, so let's talk about it. We're going to talk about our experiences, our spiritual lessons, and we're going to end it off with some affirmations for y'all.
Absolutely. So, well, our first, like, relationship with money, of course, starts as children.
Right.
In the household. You want to tell them how that may have been in your household?
Yeah. Like,
was there a money discussion in your house?
Absolutely not. You know, we kind of talked about it very briefly the other day. And my early childhood, I didn't really think a lot about money. Mm-hmm. I am my only child. And I got everything that I needed and everything that I wanted. So I never had any, like, thoughts surrounding money. Like, you know what I'm saying? I never really experienced lack. But in early childhood, I never experienced that. But, no, it never got talked about. And if my mother was struggling, I didn't know. I had no idea that she was. So, again, in those early childhood days, I don't know. It's quite a blur. It was quite a while ago, really. But, like, I don't have any memory of, like, being, like, thinking about money.
Nothing negative. About
nothing
money.
Negative. It's yeah, negative. I was pretty neutral when it came to money at that point in my life.
I think as kids, we're so simple that, you know, we don't even really want expensive things at that age in the first place. So,
yeah,
we don't necessarily, you know, think about money at all. You know what I mean? As long as you can get, like, a Happy Meal was, like, $2.99, $3, you know, candy from the store. You want simple things in life,
right,
as a
right.
kid. How do we get back to them things as an adult is a different story as far as with money.
Definitely.
But I had the opposite upbringing. I got three brothers, a single mom like you, and she did the best she could. And I had to, like, realize money was limited at a earlier age.
I'm sorry. I hate that for you. I really do.
It wasn't like, I mean, as a kid, it didn't seem that bad until you look, you know, back. It wasn't like we were in this great struggle. We were the average black family in the ghetto struggling month to month, check to check. You know what I mean?
How did you know y'all were struggling?
Well, first off, by the neighborhood we lived in. Like,
okay.
There were condemned houses around. And, like, you can just tell, like, when you go to school and you ride past the suburban neighborhoods and you look back at your neighborhood, when you do a comparison, you can tell, like, at an age I knew something was going on. We had, like, heavy policing in the neighborhood and things like that of that nature. So it's like you kind of can tell, like, and in the household, like, when you ask for certain things, the answers you get back, you know.
I got you.
When you come from a family that might be limited, you might hear a lot of "we'll see."
I heard "we'll see" a lot. I heard that a lot.
You did.
Yeah, and then you talk about, like, the neighborhood you lived in. You know, I don't know if anybody knows, but we're from the same town.
Yeah.
And I lived on Lee Street.
Yeah, you lived on Lee.
You lived on?
I lived, at that time, I was, like, Mary and Ruth, but Mary and Ruth are, like, a couple streets apart.
Right. Ways. And for people who aren't where we're from, which I'm sure most people are not.
Hell no.
Lee, like Lee and Ruth, it's pretty much the hood, right? Yeah, yeah, it's the hood.
Pretty much like Ruth is the heart of the hood,
right?
And then Lee is more that area that's. Lee got nice houses on certain like blocks and certain streets, so it wasn't. It was more closer to the outskirts.
Okay.
Of the actual like center of the hood.
Okay.
But it was
okay.
Still part of the hood for sure.
Yeah.
Like Lee Street definitely had this fair share of shit going down back in the day.
For sure.
Absolutely. Got the ass beat on Roof. I mean on Lee and Roof, like for sure. But
down the hill.
Yeah, down the hill. Back we from is down the hill. Like this is like a small, like I said, we come from a small average ghetto like side of town, you know what I mean? Nothing spectacular. My poverty wasn't no. You know, we were sleeping on the floor. I had a bed, you know.
Right.
Like it wasn't no like extremely. We just didn't have the extras.
Exactly.
You know, and I, as a kid, I knew that. And I knew we had to spread the wealth around. And I knew.
You have how many brothers?
I got three, and I'm the second oldest. And I wanted my little brothers to have things. So I got introduced to like having limits.
Yeah.
Very early on in life.
So, yeah.
And they kind of set up like your relationship with money as a adult, a young adult coming into the teens where you can actually know like what the money situation is.
Definitely. And going back to early childhood, you made me think about something. I am an only child, but I have two cousins that I grew up with. And I could tell early on that I had more than what they had, like, if that makes sense. So I would go there pretty much every weekend. I would notice, like, you know, they didn't have all the things that I had. So I think because of that, I didn't really think about money. Like, I feel like you said, the struggle early on makes you really think about money or have an attitude or a particular energy surrounding money.
Yeah. It just kickstarts your relationship with money a little earlier than it might somebody else who comes from, like I said, a background where money was never an issue and they got what they needed at all times.
And money may have been an issue because the thing is, and to this day still, my mom isn't that honest with me when it comes to things.
Yeah.
And a part of me appreciates that because I think that a kid should be able to stay a kid as long as they can.
As possible, absolutely.
Right. But a part of me is like,
it's like a part of me is like, and I'm as parents now, like I like for our kid to kind of know where that family is, the empire is right now. Like my daughter is not in the closet about our money. We've never put her in the closet about it. We always thought that it was a good thing she knew where the family stood, kind of, because like once you get older you kind of know, you need to know what your family needs, like, because I think this life thing is about like the family kind of taking care of each other. I
mean, in community.
Community. And you can't be a part of community if you don't actually know what's going on or if there is a problem or if there is a struggle for the community.
And correct. I agree with that. But also we aren't just like, I don't know. We tell her things without telling her things.
Yeah.
I wanted that to be clear. She don't know every single detail.
She don't know the exact amount of dollars we have. But when she asks us about like certain things and like, we kind of let her know like, yeah, we on the rise. Like we coming up, like, you know what
exactly.
I mean? I don't never like try to hide it to us, try to make it seem like we got more than what we have.
Right.
But not trying to downplay it either. Like we let her know like, hey, you know, like we trying
we
to build
come
this
up.
Thing.
Yeah, we're building
this thing,
and she sees that,
and she's very proud of it.
She's
proud to tell people her dad raps. She's proud to tell people that her mom is a content creator, you know, business owner. She's proud of that. But I feel like if we kept her in the dark until we were successful, she wouldn't understand this entire climb.
Facts.
And whatnot, because she's a part of it too. Like, yeah, and I don't want to keep her in the closet about what we got going on. We never do, though, in the first place.
Yeah. And our youngest daughter, she don't give a fuck.
Yeah, she don't give a damn.
Not yet.
So she get to totally, you know what I mean, just run around and be herself. With that being said, like, how do you feel your younger childhood shaped your early adult relationship with money?
I feel like once we grow up, we get a little older, our eyes are more open to things. Maybe I was a little oblivious, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah, I get that.
My eyes are opened up more. You know, I've lived a little bit more life. And when I was in high school, I think, my mother actually lost her job. She actually was laid off from her job. And that's when I kind of like experienced a little bit of struggle in my I mean, young adulthood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from just, it made me really feel like, because I think we talked about this. I've never met anybody who loved what they did for a living.
Yeah, yeah. We spoke about that.
Mm-hmm. It made me feel like I had to do things that I hated or yeah. I didn't like to make money. Mm-hmm. Because what we witnessed in our, like, to this day, I still don't personally know anyone who loves their job, who loves what yeah. they do. You know,
yeah, they work some nine to five, and you can call and they say, "I love what I do. I wouldn't do anything else."
Exactly. What we witnessed and are still witnessing is people surviving.
Yes.
Doing what they had to survive. You know what I'm saying? To get money. Like, some people may feel like that's the only way.
Absolutely. And I think that survival mode has hindered so many people to actually doing what they want to do in life instead of doing what they have to do in life. And I know it's a time period where you got to do what you got to do. Like, it is what Definitely. It is. Of course, we come from that background. I understand that 100%.
Definitely.
But I don't think you have to be a prisoner to it at all times.
Definitely, definitely. And the thing about it is hard to get out of that mindset. My best friend opened up a daycare. So, like, mm-hmm. now she's going from, like, that 9-to-5 mindset to working for herself. And she literally is like, I got to get a job. I got to get me a 9-to-5. I got to get a job. And I'm like, why do you have to get a job? Because, like, she's making money from her daycare. She's like, I don't know. It's just what I always did. It's like, it's what I've always done. And so, like I said, it's just really hard to get out of that mindset, especially, like, when you've done it for years. It can be hard, and it can definitely, like, be a mental fuck, like a mind fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, she making good money from what she's doing, but I feel like once you step out of there, you get out of survival mode, you try to do something for yourself, it's almost like, it's like somebody telling you, like, to sit down right here, the universe telling you to sit here in an invisible chair, so you don't know, like, you can't see the chair, but the universe is telling you to trust it.
Yes.
And you kind of feel like you finna lean back and bust your ass, you know what I mean? Just a little bit.
The amount of trust you have to have when it comes to, like, working for yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's, we always say that because that's our perspective. Like, you yeah. know, entrepreneurship is our perspective. But you really have to have trust in the universe when it comes to that. Now, do I believe it's possible for you to have a 9-to-5 that you love, a job?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I didn't experience that, but I definitely think it's possible.
Yeah, for sure. I think there are plenty of people that are listening to this, or plenty of people out there that are in love with what they do. But I do think it's a rarity that you have people that absolutely love what they do for a living. I'm talking about they love the money. They love the impact it has on the world, the location, company. I don't know nobody in my phone that I can call and they just, like, love it. Right. 360 all the way.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. Other people definitely, like, know people that are working for a great magazine or regular. They know people, like, doing, like, tremendous jobs. Like, and that's cool, but for the most part, from what I've seen and known in the world, most people don't love exactly what they do, and they're doing what they have to do for the most part.
Right. And we've had this conversation, like, way prior to this, when we talk about, we come from a long line of workers.
Yeah.
Hard workers.
Hard workers.
And just going back, my grandmother actually was an entrepreneur. And it seemed as if she loved what she did. She, like, did upholstery. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't born yet.
She was a mayor as well, too. Don't forget that.
She was a mayor as well.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a mayor. Shout out to Betty. Shout out to Betty. Who paved the way. But, yeah, I didn't see a lot of that, though. Like I said, mm-hmm. I was not born yet. When I did, I think she was on, like, the end of it. Like, she got really sick. So, I did want to say, like, you know, my grandmother, you know, she was that girl. She was a hustler. But like we were saying, we come from a long line of hardworking women.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Your mother works to this day long hours. My mother works long hours. And it's survival mode, but it's also a love language.
Absolutely, it's a love language. They do this for us. Like, they don't do this out of, I don't think they do it out of pure joy. They do it for their children. They do it for,
because they have to.
They have to, like, to provide a livelihood for their kids, a better life for them. And, like, all of that led up to this moment right here.
Right.
Everything my mom did led up to this podcast. Everything your mom did led up to this. You know what I mean? So I love them the bottom of my heart.
So grateful.
Black women have always held our communities down since we got off the boats.
Facts.
So shout out to all the black women in the world out here getting their bag and doing your thing.
Period.
But my upbringing with money was kind of similar to that, to an extent. I come from like a long line of the women in my family all worked. The men of my family, they was all like hustlers. They was all in the streets. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I come from a real bet it all at any moment kind of like lifestyle. They risk it all for one play. Like it, and that's just kind of the nature of how we grew up. Which gave me positive things, and it also gave me negative things. Both sides did. Seeing the women in my family always go to work let me know, like, you can sustain the living. It might not be the most flashiest, but your kids will never go hungry. Y'all have a place to stay. It let me know that, like, okay, if you do get a job, you won't starve, but you won't necessarily thrive. And then the hustlers, the men on my side of the family, they was really risking it all. And, like, at times, they was up, like, they were really up. And
your papa.
My grandpa was like the kickstarter to it all. Snap, the OG, the legend himself. Like, he had a farm, he had a club. He did everything under the sun to get him some bread. Like, he played no games. Like,
period.
Like, facts. He was really one of them dudes, like, in his time. And, like, that set up the hustling side to me that always made me want to go be ambitious and, like, have something for myself instead of, like, going to work for somebody. And there was nothing wrong with that, but they always made me realize, like, they always made me come back to, like, bet on yourself.
Definitely.
Do something for you out here, because at the end of the day, that's who looking out for you.
Yeah.
Despite what they did, you know, for a living, they did teach me that much, like, and the positive thing from them was, that you could always bounce back. I never have had a fear of falling off.
Facts.
With money, like, I've never had a fear of falling off. I've seen too many hustlers lose it all and come back. Like, yeah. I've seen too many of them for me to be scared of falling off. That was the positive side. The negative side of what they did was the inconsistency. Because when you do jump out there on your own, ain't nothing guaranteed. You know what I mean? That's, like, in business, your next check is not a guarantee. At all. Like, the next customer is not guaranteed. Our next podcast episode, it's gonna do fire, believe me. But but it's not guaranteed to do that. Like, nothing is guaranteed, yo. The inconsistency was the negative side of all that. And I then as I grew up had these two things pulling me to take a risk and then others to, like, fall back and save for a rainy day. And for too long, to save for a rainy day kind of, like, was my life. And it kind of, for me, I feel like it held me back financially. Like, saving when I should have been investing in me the entire time.
Ooh, facts.
Like,
facts.
I feel like I personally robbed myself of plenty opportunities or plenty, like, times to really, like, raise up. Like, really go up on myself. But
yeah,
it was held back because I was too scared of the inconsistencies, like, from my male side of the family. And from the women's side, I was just playing it safe.
Yeah.
And definitely, that just kind of hindered my young me with money.
Mm-hmm. And my young me with money, I know I talked about it a little bit, but I did want to say that the lack of the money conversations, it made me fear money. It made me fear money. I was scared of money. I didn't want to talk about it. You ever bring up, you know, in the past, you've brought up our finances, and I'm like, immediately, I get so much anxiety. Sweaty palms, sweaty pits.
A lot of people, like, you bring up money, and they just, like, sweating.
Yeah, because, like, those aren't conversations that we usually, like, that I grew up having. Healing from that, I learned to just, like, try to educate myself when it came to money. Yeah. Like, I feared it because I didn't know it. We didn't talk about it.
Fear the unknown.
I fear the unknown. Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm with you. Like, when you don't have, I think people's biggest fear is, like, learning about money or understanding money or lack thereof.
Exactly.
That's what most people fear about money.
Exactly.
But once you educate yourself, you have a lot more confidence when you see money, speak money, or you think about making money the more knowledge you have about it, the more comfort you can have in that realm.
Definitely, 100%.
The biggest lesson is money feels what you feel.
Exactly. Like, money is neutral.
Yeah,
it's neutral. Whatever energy, whatever feeling you give money,
yes,
it'll give back to you.
100%. So if you lacking, money gonna lack to you.
Definitely.
Like, if you feel like it's hard to make, then money will make sure it's hard for you to make it. Like,
definitely.
And it, on the flip side, if you feel like it's easy to make money, you will be so much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Inclined to take those risks to get that money.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, speaking of taking risks, I've learned that this is kind of money related, but just life related as well. If you don't take risk, you're going to always be where you were.
Thanks.
There's not going to be any change.
None.
You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to get what you always have gotten.
Yes. What's the saying that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result?
Man.
That will plague you with money. You know what I mean?
And just thinking about, like, I used to feel like when we talk about spirituality and money, I feel like people, and me, I'm people, think that the two don't go together. Like I said before, when it's okay to want things, it's okay to desire things. Literally, we were put into the physical realm. We were put here on earth to enjoy abundance. Like, you know what I'm saying? To enjoy life. And abundance isn't just financial. It's literally health. It's literally peace. Mm-hmm. It's happiness. It's joy. We were put here to enjoy this physical experience.
Mm-hmm. So don't let nothing hold you back.
So it's okay to want things. My thing is, don't worship money.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. Do not worship money. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Or the material things. I'm going to always root for spiritual success over anything. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Happiness, joy. And you'll find that when you grow spiritually, your bank account grows.
Yeah.
Like, thanks. Literally, like, when you continue to put in that work on you, like, on yourself, everything else just falls in line.
Yeah.
You inherently become more abundant.
You inherently become money.
We literally are money.
We are money.
We're literally money. One of my favorite, remember I showed you that TikTok? I'll put the, like, creator, I put their name in the description box or the podcast notes, but he was saying, I am money.
Yes.
He was like, literally, we're so iconic, so abundant, so a whole bunch of other stuff he said too, that they made money at the thought of me. And
that's strong.
That's strong, bro. That's strong. And he was like, anytime you think that you need more money, what you really need is more of you.
Yes.
Because you are money. I am money. I love, it's my favorite. I literally wrote that in my notes and I was saying it over and over and over. It's so powerful. We literally are money. And once you understand that, I feel like the fear and, you know, the weirdness or, about, you know what I'm saying, about money, it leaves. We are money. We deserve money. We deserve abundance.
I love that. We deserve money. Because I don't want anybody to kind of be like I was at one point in time. Like, you didn't want money out of the fear of what might happen if you get money. You know what I mean? Don't let that hold you back from money. Like, the fear of what might happen if you do get money or who you might be. You might be a little different, but that might be a great thing that you're different. You know what I mean? Go get you some so that you can have that lifestyle that you want to have. And when I say lifestyle, if it's the cars or whatever you want, let that be. For me, it's the time.
Yes.
It's the biggest thing that money can get me. What I need it for is time. Because if I got time, everything else is going to fall in line.
Like, definitely.
If I got time, I can get whatever I want out here.
Yeah.
But when you don't got time and you got to be at this place at that time and here and there.
So many obligations
and whatnot. You drained just because you got to have a little money in survival mode. Then, you know what I mean, you try to put yourself in a little bit of trouble, and that's how you can get the two kind of, you know, get messed up about money and energy.
Yeah, and just thinking about people not wanting to change when they get money, you're going to change.
You're going to change.
Do you fucking think that I want to get money, but I'm not going to change? Like, that's the point.
Yeah, you're going to change to get the money.
That's the point.
You know what I'm saying?
And when you get money, when you get financial abundance, you have the ability and the opportunity to explore yourself further. You have the opportunity, the ability to go to a fucking yoga class, to get a green juice, to journal, to go to a coffee shop, to really enjoy what life is really about, the beautiful small things.
Yes.
That's the point. I'm going to get money. I am money, first of all. And I'm going to change.
Yes, I'm going to change.
I'm going to change. I'm like, changing.
Like, you going to change. Like you said, getting money to do them things. I get money to have time. I get money to be... I get money so I can get a hammock and go to the park.
Bruh.
At 11:30 when nobody's there.
Bruh. And eat me a little sand, though. A little Sammy. You know what I'm saying?
That is money. If you can do that on a Tuesday...
That is money.
You're doing good. You're doing good. You're living. Where if you can go to the park, get in the hammock, eat a sandwich... On a Tuesday, 11.
Drink a little poppy. Drink me a poppy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I need money in my life for. I think I had a bad relationship when I thought I needed money just to, like, be around, just to hang. Like,
and impress other people.
And to
then
impress.
We got a problem because when you have the mindset of getting money to impress other people, you're going to feel, it's like it's never going to be good enough. You're going to have to keep getting more and more and more and more and more of these things to impress other people. But I don't want money for others. I want money for me. I want money for my children. I want money for my children's children. You know what I'm saying? Thanks. To build legacy and generational wealth. Something that wasn't really given to me.
Yes. And go get you some money so you can have the time to work on you.
You saying go get you some money. Like when they told you.
Yeah, they told me go get you some money. Like for real. Like my cousins, when they said that shit, is instilled in me. And ultimately, when I say go get some money, like...
What you mean?
Go get yourself, like, go find yourself, go be yourself, and the money gonna come, like, so when I say go get some money, go get some more of you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let it be clear.
Let it be clear.
Let's
like,
be
I ain't
clear.
Mean, I ain't just talking about a dollar. When I say go get money, you are currency as well, like,
okay.
Your individuality is currency, so, dog, go get you some money, go get you some you. The more you get closer to being yourself, the closer you are to a bag. My music got so much better when I start being me.
Period.
Like everything That's gets facts. So much better when you start being you.
Facts.
Like it all aligns. Time, money, energy, creativity. You gonna need a little bit of all that to really run this life up how you run it up.
For sure. And just thinking back about like how I had that lack, you know, idea of money on this like healing journey, I've grown to know and realize that there is enough for everybody.
Yes.
There's literally enough money to go around, enough abundance for everybody. Just because I have abundance don't mean the next person won't have it.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? And just because the next person has it don't mean I won't.
Yes.
And y'all know I always talk about Deepak Chopra, the 7 spiritual laws of success,
yes.
The law of giving. He literally says money is like a river. It flows. Literally, you have to give to get. Literally, yes. Money flows. You know
Absolutely,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
It comes to me. It comes to you. It comes to us easily because it flows.
The spiritual side of it is to keep it flowing. Keep your energy going in that good pattern. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Energy in, energy out. It's a beautiful flow. But when you are stagnant, like with money, like we talking about the financial part, you just like living and not making more money, then you start to see your money shrink up.
Yeah.
Because you haven't put any more money out there to bring it back to you. Make sure you got a good flow. Like, this is spirituality and money playing together. Find your zen out here, dog.
Definitely.
And watch the bag grow.
Watch it grow.
Hit me with some of them good, peaceful money affirmations one time, Riri.
Okay. I am money. I am money.
Bow your heads.
Bro, I'm hollering. Stop.
Nah, for real, hit my soul. Let me hear it.
Money comes to me easily. Money comes to me so easy. I deserve money. I am worthy of money. I'm worthy of abundance. I deserve money. I love money and money loves me. I love money and money loves me. Money comes frequently and abundantly. Money comes frequently and abundantly, period. I get to make money just by being me. It's that easy. I get to make money just by being me. I don't need money. Money needs me. I do not need money. Money needs me. On gang.
Gang.
On that note, thank you guys so much for joining us today and, you know, finally talking about these money conversations.
Yes. So now approach your money relationship with confidence and know that you are abundant.
You are money. I'm sending you so much love, so much peace, and so much abundance and everything you need in this exact moment. We love y'all, and we will see y'all next week. Bye.